This is exclusive coverage of CPAC for Central Virginia. Brought to you by
the Virginia Institute for Public Policy and our Tuesday Morning Group Coalition. Find out how you can join at virginiainstitute.org.
It's Joe Thomas in the morning on Seville 107.5 and 1260 WCHV.
Joe Thomas here at the CPAC 2024. Again, thanks to our friends at Virginia Institute for Public Policy and our election integrity efforts as well. The Election Integrity Network at virginiainstitute.org. This guy, when I saw and they said, I said, the Coach Joe is going to come over and visit with us. We were just talking with Kimberly Fletcher, Moms for America, stories of regular people. You know, while we marvel at the Marvel movies failing at the box office to make back their money, stories of regular people are resonating with everyone. And Coach Joe Kennedy was one of those. How long ago was the incident in question, the famous prayer after the game that got you in trouble in the first place? Good to see you, and it's good to meet you. How are you, sir?
Great to be here. I love CPAC. This is just awesome. So it was, it was nine football seasons ago.
Oh, my God.
So 8 years now.
That's a football coach. Yeah. How many football seasons? How many training camps? Oh, my gosh, that long ago. Yeah. And it seems like, well, good, because then you go through the whole process. And again, the process is the punishment. We talk about this on the program so often. Guy like you just coaching some high school kids, just trying to make an impact. My daughter was in choir. Her choir teacher is a huge impact in her life. People forget, you know, it's not the math teacher that somebody remembers. It's that coach or that choir director or someone like that. So you're just trying to make an impact in kids' lives. And then they come down on you like a ton of bricks. Give the listener who fears being that guy next or that gal next how you made it through all that. I'm sure you've told this story a gazillion times, but absolutely. I haven't had a chance to ask it yet.
Right. So I mean, this all came from a compliment, actually. So in my mind, this was just a big misunderstanding. Somebody saw what I was doing and took it the wrong way and had this investigation. Now, the lawyers for the school districts were the ones that were pulling the strings. So you think that the people who are running the school district are your elected officials, but that's not the case, which is really scary in my book.
Yeah, sure.
We tried to work it out, and things just did not work the way that I thought they were going to go. So we took it to court, and all this was over was me praying by myself. They told me to stop praying with the team, and I did. I complied with that. I didn't want to cause any trouble. Sure. I wanted to just be able to coach football and be with these young guys. But every day was just another no, another no, another no. But I had to keep going because it was the right thing to do. Something as simple as a prayer. A 30-second prayer is not newsworthy. Mm-hmm. It's not something that should go to the Supreme Court. It shouldn't be in the news.
Right.
But because they fired somebody over it, I had to choose between my job and my faith. That shouldn't happen in America. And somebody had to stand up for it. Enough is enough. And because I was a Marine for 20 years, I know how to fight, and I know what is worth fighting for, and the Constitution and the First Amendment is absolutely worth fighting for. And people usually can't stand up for themselves, or they're afraid to stand up. So when I did, millions of Americans stood up with me. That's what kept me going. I had people all around the country just cheering me on.
And nonpartisan, too, because I know Catholics, you know, it's not a political party thing. It's here in Charlottesville, home to Thomas Jefferson, religious freedom he has been so run through the ringer. We have a dear friend who wrote a book called The Jefferson Bible, the religious realities of Thomas Jefferson. And because a lot of people will say, oh, no, he was an atheist. No, he was against religion. He wanted to protect religion from the government. And what happened to you seemed like it was right from central casting of everything Jefferson wanted to protect the citizens' rights to have whatever faith they wanted in any way they wanted it without the government coming down on them. And I had arguments, Joe, with people who were like, no, Jefferson would be, oh, Jefferson would say, fire him. No, he wouldn't. He would have said.
That's what the horrible thing was. From day one, I always heard separation of church and state. And I said, that doesn't mean what you think it means.
Exactly.
And we're not educating the American public and our kids on what that actually means. The great thing about my case is it overturned the Lemon case, which the Lemon Law, which is applied horribly through the past 50 years. So the great thing now is we have more religious freedom and more freedom of speech now than we have had in the past 50 years. So we need to get reacquainted with the way things are supposed to be, the way that Jefferson and the founding fathers originally intended it to be.
So how are the kids, you know, because I know that, you know, as a coach, you know, how did the kids make it through after all this? I got to imagine they were all on your side for it. But, you know, and talk about the community that you were in and still live in, I believe, you know, and how they've reacted as this has gone on, transpired all the way up through the Supreme Court ruling.
Yeah, the kids were great. They wanted to protest. They said, Coach, we're with you 100%. We're going to take our helmets off, put it on the 50-yard line, walk off the field. And I was like, whoa, guys. Yeah. No. This is my battle. Your battle is on the football field. That is what you are called to do. And so that's the way they could honor me, and they respected that. They went to the playoffs that year. It was awesome to see. I got to at least go to every one of the games and cheer them on. So they represented me very well still on the field.
Okay.
The community really banded behind me. They came to the games. They sat with me. They went to every one of our board meetings and protested, and it was great. They made it very clear what the school district was doing was absolutely wrong for so many reasons.
So these kids have, now I went to New York City public school, so please forgive me if my math is not as good as yours. So these kids are 25, 26 years old now, so they're young men in the community, finished school, finished
getting
college.
Married, get, master's degrees, having
so,
kids.
So give us a look at how these kids have come out of this, the other end. I don't know if any of them are playing on Sundays, but what kind of people did they turn out? Because at the end of the day, I've heard your story enough, and I see it in your eyes now that you're sitting here with me. That was more important to you than anything else.
Oh,
what kind of people these were going to be. So how are they? How are they now?
Yeah, and just to clarify that, I was not hired to do the X's and O's. I had an offensive coordinator, defensive coordinator, and special teams guy. I don't know anything about football. I let those guys do that. That's their job. Mm-hmm. My job was to get the most out of those young men and teach them how to become better young men. I was stepping in the gap for what most people don't have in their lives these days. And I took it very seriously. These guys are awesome. I love going to see them, getting their master's degrees. They have families now. They have kids. They call me and say, hey, would you attend my wedding? Would you perform my wedding?
Oh, my gosh.
They have careers. It is so awesome to see them. And unfortunately, I have gone to some of their funerals. And
oh, no.
But I still get to put my arms around their moms and dads because that's how close we are. And it feels... It hurts. We cry. We have sorrow together.
Because, great loss.
Yeah. I mean, I got to be part of their lives, even though it was such a short time. Man, they made a huge impact on me.
Well, you've made an impact on so many people. Again, these hero stories that don't come with capes and cowls. They come with clipboards sometimes. But thank you for being an example. We can't forget these examples. What are you doing here at CPAC? Are you talking to the crowd? Do you have a booth? You have a website. I just put it over here. It's CoachJoeKennedy.com, so people can visit you there.
Right. Not very original, you know, because I'm just a football coach. But I'm kind of plugging my book, Average Joe, and it tells my whole life story and how God could take somebody that was from an unwanted pregnancy all the way to fighting for religious
freedom.
Really?
I didn't know that part of your story.
I probably, at the time, should have been aborted. It was on the table.
Oh, my gosh.
It's amazing what can happen and how one guy, just one schmuck, can make a difference. And also, we're also letting everybody know a movie's coming out.
I was going to ask.
Yeah, this in theaters this fall, Average Joe.
By the way, thank you for stealing my autobiography name, because, you know, Joe Thomas in the morning, I was going to, now I have to come up with something else. For
yeah,
my,
we're just the average guys.
Yeah. And maybe I am under average. Yeah. Like, I can't, I haven't made it to average yet.
Yeah, and also here to endorse a couple people for office, and anything I could do for them to, and get people out to vote, because this election is the most important in our lifetime.
Well, come up and visit with Coach Joe from Charlottesville. You're going to be going on all the way through Saturday. It's good to catch up with you. It really is an honor to have you on the show, and thank you so
very
much.
Thank you, brother. Hey, you stay, keep fighting a good fight.
Absolutely.